Dear brothers and sisters, we are today with the continuation of the lesson or the lecture that is related to the shurut of salah. The shurut of salah. And we said yesterday that the shurut of salah are eight. We said that shurut of salah, shurut for salah are eight. Oh, sorry, nine. So it is nine. We have from the shurut, we have Islam. We have the Islam, which is basically a condition for every worship. As what Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 17, ما كان للمشركين أن يعمروا مساجد الله شاهدين على أنفسهم بالكفر أولئك حبطت أعمالهم وفي النار هم خالدون. It is not up to the mushrikeen, the non-Muslims, to build up mosques or have them visit it or to visit the mosques to do worships in them while they witness that they are abul kufr. Verily those are people whom their deeds are thrown away and they are going to be dwelling in the fire. So it is very clear that Islam is a condition for all worships. A condition for all worships. Besides Islam, we have al-aql or sanity. And sanity is also a condition. It's also a condition. But let me just bring something to you here. Condition or shurut, we have the shart can be either shart sihha or shart or shart wujub. Or shart wujub. So we have two shurut for salah. Either it be shart sahha. Either it be shart sahha. And shart sahha means a condition that makes salah acceptable. A condition that makes salah acceptable. And then we have shart wujub. Shart wujub is a condition that make the worship obligatory. So now we have nine conditions. We want to go through them, bring their evidences, but at the same time we want to know which is shart sihha and which is shart wujub. Do we all understand the difference between shart sihha and shart wujub? Shart means condition. Shart equals condition. Wujub means that it is obligatory. And sihha sihha means acceptance. So we got it now. Now let's, you got your own notebook and your pen. Now we have 9 conditions. And I want you, dear brothers and sisters, now, brother Abu Fatma, please remove the red dot from them. I want you to tell me, while we are discussing the condition and the evidences for that, I want you to tell me what kind of condition is that. It is for wujud or for siha? Is it for obligation or for acceptance? And just before that, what is the meaning of shart? What is the meaning of shart? The ulama says that the shart is a thing that whenever it is found, whenever it is missing, then the worship or the amal, the act that requires it is missing. It's not acceptable. And I will give examples for that. This is one part of the definition of the shart. What is the definition of the shart? What does it mean to the ulama of usul? The ulama of usul says in Arabic, "Ash-shartu ma yalzamu min adamihi al-adam." الشرط ما يلزم من عدمه العدم ولا يلزم من وجوده وجود. I'm going to write it in. Alright, I was saying that الشرط هو ما يلزم من عدمه العدم. What does that mean? Shart is the condition that if it is missing, then the worship that requires it is also missing, even if you do it. Let's take an example. Wudu, ablution. Now, ما يلزم من عدم العدم. If you have no wudu, or if your wudu is invalid, then can salah exist? Can you pray? If you have no wudu, can you have prayer? No. No. Why? Upon that qaida, upon that fundamental principle of usul. Ma yalzamu min adami al-adam. Another example. You are fasting. In the day of Ramadan, you are fasting in the day of Ramadan. If the sun is not yet set, do you break your fasting? Or let's say if the sunset is not yet existed, can break fasting exist? What do you say? No. No, no. Excellent. Why? Because breakfasting requires sunset. Right. If the moon of Ramadan is not yet sighted, do you start fasting? If the moon of Ramadan is not yet found or seen, perhaps no. Why? Again, to that qaida, to that principle. ما يلزم من عدمه العدم. Whenever it is, whenever the condition is not there, then the worship that requires this condition is also not there. Even if you worship, even if you do it. Even if you do it. Now, for example, if you fast before Ramadan, before the moon sighted, 1 or 2 days, is it okay to say, okay, I fasted before the Jama'ah 2 days, and the Jama'ah are completing Ramadan, at the end of Ramadan, due to the moon sighting. So they are going to fast 30 days. By their 28th, it is your 30th. So can you say, okay, I have fasted 30 days, I will continue fasting. Is that existing? Can that exist? Use this qaida. يلزم ما يلزم من عدم العدم. Can that exist? Hi, ikhwan. Dear brothers and sisters, where are you? Yes or no? Here, Imam Abdullah says yes. So if this person fasted upon his own ijtihad, fasted before the moon sighted 2 days, and 2 days earlier than the Jama'ah. So when it is his 30th, it was the 28th of the Jama'ah. What would you say? He can't break fasting that day because he had already completed 30 days? We say no. Why? Because the condition for starting Ramadan is the sighting of the moon. And the sighting of the moon is not yani, existed yet. So, this fasting which is upon on ijtihad is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. Same as, for example, zakah. Zakah. We know that zakah is obligatory upon two conditions, or upon the availability of two things. The nisab, the amount of money you have that can reach the designated amount by the Sharia, and the second is a complete year past. So, if you have one of these two missing, do we say that it is obligatory upon you to give out zakah? Ay, ikhwan. No, why no? Why not? Why not? Okay, why not? Because of this qaida. Yeah, he's missing the shart. He's missing the condition for giving out zakah. That's it. ما يلزم من عدمه العدم. Take this qaida, memorize it well. You will use it in many, many places. Many, many places. Another thing. A sister marrying a brother. Okay? They're both Muslims and married. The brother, now the sister is wajib upon her to obey her husband because he's Muslim, and it is wajib upon her to make him enjoy her. Right now, this man has rejected Islam, has done something that takes him out of the fold of Islam. Now, do we still say, you, Mrs. Layla, have to obey Mrs. Saeed, Mr. Saeed? Do we still say that? Hi, Akhwan. No, why? Okay, no, she must leave him. Why? 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 Because the shart is missing. The shart for obedience is missing. The shart for to be together is missing. That's why we say the qa'idah is very, very important. The qa'idah makes it very, very important. ما يلزم من عدمه العدم. Islam is the thing that the man, that makes the man able to marry this Muslim woman. And that's why we say, non-Muslim man cannot marry Muslim woman. Okay, if this Muslim man rejected Islam, he become non-Muslim. Kafir. Murtad. So we come to the qaida. Maybe someone come and say, yeah, Ikhwan, how you separate between these two couple, between this couple? They are husband and wife. Why you separate? You say, Akhi. He says, the Sharia says that the woman has to obey the husband. Say, that's correct. But come back to the usul. We have usul. We have usul that we measure all the incidents and occasions on it. Now we take the asal. The asal, which is this qaida, says, مَا يَلْزَمْ مِنْ عَدَمِهِ الْعَدَمِ مَا يَلْزَمْ مِنْ عَدَمِهِ الْعَدَمِ. Now, this man, the husband, who was the husband, rejected Islam, so he lost the condition. So, the hukum also, I mean, the action from that lady must be lost. His condition is invalid. Now the action of that lady is invalid too. This is good. I don't know if this is a brother or sister. Can we write can we write it like this in English? If there is no purity, okay, sister. If there is no purity, then there is no prayer. But if one is pure, it is not necessarily that case, the case that he has to pray. Exactly. So you brought the example for both, yani, parts of the qa'idah, jazakallahu khairan. Now, back to the purity, which is, yani, the example. We say that if you have purity or wudu, if you have wudu, then we cannot say it is obligatory upon you to pray. But we say it is permissible for you to pray. What do you say, brothers and sisters? If one of you makes wudu now, do we say you have to pray now? And as long as you are upon wudu, you have to continuously pray? No, ya ikhwan, no. No. We say, okay, you, in zakah, okay, you have the nisab, you have $100,000. You have much more than the nisab. Now you have to give zakah. And as long as you have the nisab, which is about maybe, let's say, $700. That is the minimum, the nisab. For example, and you have $100,000. Say, okay, you have to give until you come below the nisab. Is that right? You say, no. Why? Because we have the nisab, we have the year, the complete year, and we have the amount of zakah you give out. So not necessarily because you have the nisab, the amount of money that يعني makes you I mean when that makes it obligatory for you to give zakah, then you give zakah. No, we say there is other part of the condition, which is the hawl, the year, the complete year, and then you have to give some part of the of your money out. So we have to understand the qawaid. We have to understand the qawaid, the principles. We have to understand the usul. So this asr is very clear. الشرط ما يلزم من عدم العدم ولا يلزم من وجوده الوجود. لا يلزم من وجوده. It is not necessarily because you are on wudu to pray. It is not necessarily because you have money. Now somebody gave you $10,000. It is not necessarily now you go and pay zakah. No, up to you. You want to give sadaqah, jazakallah khair, you don't want, up to you. Right? So, as well as Hajj, for example, a sister that has money and she can fly from the UK, from USA, from Canada, from where else in the world to Mecca and do the Hajj because she is rich. We say, no, there is another condition for her, the company of the mahram. So if she doesn't have the mahram, halas, Hajj is not obligatory upon her, even if she has the money. Opposite, she has the mahram but she doesn't have money. Again, it's not obligatory upon her. You know? This is the importance of learning the usul. Okay, now back to our lesson. We said that we have 9 shurut for salah. We have 9 shurut for salah. And I want you to be yani alert with me because we're gonna go through a kind of exercise that is very interesting. But it gives you a clear picture how to value the matters and the issues of fiqh. Okay, now we said we have some conditions which are for what? Obligation. And some others for acceptance. Wujub and sahha. Right. Now, let's say, Islam, is it for wujub or for sahha? Is it a condition that makes salah obligatory or makes it yani acceptable? Okay, okay, some brothers and sisters are saying for wujub and some for sahha. Now we need to clarify that. Is it for wujub or for sahha? And here we have Shahid wanna be says for both. Now I have 3 different sayings. So we have 3 schools of fiqh now. One say wujub. You, the ones who say wujub, give me your dalil. Why Islam is a condition for wujub? Why Islam? I'm a Muslim now. I'm a Muslim. Do I have now to stop teaching you and start praying until either I die or la samahallah become kafir? Because we are only praying to Allah alone. Okay, but when we say it is shart for wujub, it means once the shart is available, then you have to pray. Now we need to add something. We say it is shart for wujub at its time. And it is shart for sahha at the same time. As one who doesn't, the one who is not upon Islam, even if he prays, it's not acceptable from him. One example. I'll give you one example. A person embraces Islam while we are giving now the lecture. It is here in Saudi 22 or 23 minutes past 11. And in your country might be 23 past 4 in the afternoon. Now, as your timing, if it is as I am understanding, for example, in the UK it is 3 hours earlier than Saudi, so it would be 8:23 in London. In New York it's going to be 4:24. 24 or 23. Now, 323 where? I think in, okay. Now it is 323 in the USA, alright. Now, if someone embraces Islam now, here in Saudi, he embraces Islam with me now. It is still time for Isha prayer. Usaaki, alhamdulillah, embrace Islam. Now we go make wudu and do Salatul Isha. Why? Because you are still within the parameter of the time of the prayer of Isha. At 3:24, I don't know, it is still time for Dhuhr. Correct me if I'm wrong, in New York. You're not yet at Asr, correct? It's Asr? Okay, now, we say, alright, we say, okay, this man now embraced Islam while it's still Asr time. While it's still Asr time. Then we say, Akhi, you got to make wudu and make salah now. Why? Because he embraced Islam at the time of Asr. But for example, or, yani, do we command them to pray Dhuhr and Fajr? Or here in Saudi, do we command them to pray Maghrib, Asr and Dhuhr? No, no, no. Why? Because it's time already by the time he embraced Islam. It's the time of that salah is finished. So we don't command him to pray. Why? Because when he was found a Muslim, when he was found as a Muslim, it was only the time of Salatul Isha here in Saudi, or Salatul Asr there in New York. So that's how we deal with the matter. So Islam, and now I want you to tell me. Now I had three different opinions from you guys. Wujub, Sihah, and both. Now, you want to tell me which one it is. Yeah, it is so, it's time, true, but, okay. And whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, yeah, that's correct, but, yani, that's, yani, a different thing. I'm with those who say both. Because, as a person willing to embrace Islam, and he came and prayed with us. Yani, for example, you are now in New York doing the Asr prayer. Okay? A man came willing to embrace Islam, and he found the Jama'ah doing the Salah. So he joined the Jama'ah and did the Salah. And after Salah, he came forward to the Imam and said, Ya Akhi, I want to embrace Islam, I want to declare. So he stood and declared the Shahada. Now, what do we say? Now we tell him you have to yani, go make wudu and pray again. Why? If he says, oh, I just prayed with you. Say, no, Akhi, you prayed at the time when you were not yet in the fold of Islam. Yeah, he didn't have Islam. So, Islam could be a condition for Sahha and a condition for wujub. It depends how we deal with the matter. Fine. What is the rule for that? I mean, for Islam as a condition? Is the ayah of Surah Tawbah, ayah number 17. Write it down. I've just recited it. Fine. And then we have Aql. And let's look at Aql, which is sanity. What do you say? I need votes. What do you say? Aql is a condition for wujub, or a condition for sahha, or for both. Okay, one says wujub. Abu Bashir says wujub. Who else? Nobody in the room? There is no fard on the man. Okay. Yusuf says both. Muwahhid says sahha. Well, who else? MashaAllah, we have let the brothers and sisters here in the room. Both arrive. I still don't see much answers. Wujub and insha'Allah, طيب. Saha. So I have again three opinions. See, we want to have the clear understanding because Islam is one. Umm Abdullah says difficult. طيب, we can bring it now to make it easy, insha'Allah. Arab al Islam, now I'm new to Islam. And I don't know the answer. طيب, that's good, you are alright. Be with us in the class and see what we say. Now we say, Aql, which is sanity, is a condition for salah. But is it a condition for acceptance or for wujub? We say for wujub only. For wujub only. Why? Because acceptance means that, when we say acceptance, it means that you know what to do, but you don't know what to do. I mean, the madman, the mad person, doesn't know what to do. And that's why nothing to be registered neither for him nor against him. What is the dalil for that? Is what Imam Ahmad reported in his Musnad, where the Prophet ﷺ said, رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثَةٍ رفع القلم عن ثلاثة عن ثلاثة من هم who are they the pen has been raised for three kind of persons. The pen of registration of the deeds is raised, is lifted from these three. Who are they? النائم حتى يستيقظ. The person who is sleeping, Allah won't punish him for not praying if he is sleeping and he cannot he did his best to awake but he was very tired so he could not awake. The second is the majnoon, the madman, the one who lost his sanity. The insane. This kind of person, it's not obligatory upon him, it's not acceptable from him. Because for the worship to be accepted, it must be intended and willed. But this person doesn't intend anything, doesn't will anything. So, and والصغير حتى يبلغ, and the little child until he reached the age of maturity, then it is to be written against him if he doesn't pray. So the madman or the mad person, it is not obligatory upon him to pray. Even if he prays, it is not acceptable from him. So Islam would be a condition of? Condition of what, brothers? Is it wujub or sahha or both? Yeah, it is sahha. It is sahha. Why? Because if we say wujub, that means the person who is the person who has his sanity, the same person has to pray. Unless if we say like Islam, if we say that it's time. And that's true. If the person be sanit and unsanit and is switching, bouncing between these two cases, then at the time, okay, then at the time when he is Senate, he has to pray. He has to pray. So it is a shart of wujub then. So we can say that it can be both shurut, sahha and wujub. The hadith says in Arabic, رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثَةٍ رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثَةٍ النَّائِمِ حَتَّى يَسْتَيْقِظُ حتى يستيقظ والمجنون حتى يفيق والمجنون حتى يفيق والصغير حتى يبلغ والصغير حتى يبلغ. Sister Sadiqa or Sadiqa says the shart of being a Muslim to pray is sahha and wujub both. Correct, wayak. And also the aql, sahha and wujub. From one side it is sahha, as if he is answered, no reward for all the worship that he does. I'm a little confused. Okay. Now we say, shartu sahha means that If he does anything, it will be accepted. Wujub means it is obligatory for him to do it. Now, the answer is, it is not obligatory. You agree, Om Yusuf? The mad person, it is not obligatory for him to pray. Do you agree? Yes or no? Y or M? Yes. Okay, no, it is not. It is not obligatory. Okay, that's right. Is it obligatory or it is not obligatory? Okay. Now, when we say the person who is mad, it is not obligatory upon him to pray. If he prays while being insane, is it acceptable from him? Okay, I'm using. Is it acceptable? It is not. So, now, it is a shart for acceptance, so Allah won't accept from anybody until he is sane. And it is shart for obligatory, while you are sane, it is obligatory, but you need to pray, and it's time. Isn't it? So it is two, it is both. And Sister Siddiq is saying that the shart for being sane is wujub. Proof is the hadith of Ahmad. Yeah, it's true, wujub, and at the same time, sahha. At the same time, sahha. Yani, example. Unsane or mad, yeah, it is both. But let me give you this example. A mad person joined the jama'ah. And people are praying, you know the mad, what does he do? You know the man, the madman, what does he do? In prayer, he's looking to his neighbor, laughing, taking some food from his bucket and eating, playing, you know. He's like a little kid. After salah, he continued the salah, he completed the salah with the jama'ah. After salah, Allah gave him back his sanity. So he became sane. Now, and this time he cannot remember if he prays or not, because it was a different person. So now, his neighbor to his left said to him, Akhi, you need to go make wudu and pray again. The other neighbor on the right says to the man, no, Akhi, you don't go because you have just done the prayer. Now you tell me which one is right. The neighbor who said, go and make wudu and pray, or the one who said, no, you don't need because you just pray. He must pray, perhaps. Why? Because the prayer he did it out of the parameter of obligation. It wasn't obligatory at that time. Right. Do we say he's going to be rewarded for the salah? Do we say that he is going to be rewarded for that salah? No, because he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. So, by that we know that it is for both. It is for both. Do you all agree now this is for both? Sanity is a condition for both, sahha and wujub. Do you all agree? I see only 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Amen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Jai. Now we go to the third condition, which is a tamyiz, or what we said yesterday, it is the age of distinguishing between good and bad. You know, if you have a child of 1.5 year old start walking, this child doesn't know what is good, what is bad for him. He might take the burning coal, and that's why, you know, Musa alayhi salam, in his dua, in Surah Taha, Allah Ta'ala said that he said, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. Oh Allah, remove the knot, the defect of my tongue, so the people who I'm going to convey the message to will understand what I say. He had a problem in his tongue, so he cannot bring all the letters. I don't know what you call it in English, but in Arabic it is called Al-Fagh, Al-Fagh. So, speech impediment, Al-Fagh, anyway. Now, Musa alayhi salam, whenever he used to give the da'wah and recite the Torah, it was very fluent and very excellent. But when he used to speak in normal speech, he had a problem. He had a problem. Okay? Why? You know why? Because when he was a baby, Fir'aun gave the command to kill all the male children, the newborn babies, male newborn babies of Bani Israel. So Musa was born in the coffin and thrown into the sea, and the sea moved the coffin to the coast by the palace of Fir'aun. He was taken, etc. The story is too long, but when he stayed in the house of in the palace of Fir'aun and started grew up, Fir'aun realized that this boy is the boy that is seen in the dream that is going to destroy his kingdom. His wife, Asiya radiallahu anha wa rahimah, said to him, okay, make a list for him, examine him. Put one date and one burning coal and see which one he takes. So the baby crawled and came to the burning coal and touched it and licked it by his tongue. So it burnt his tongue. So he had this matter of speaking. You see how? Now, the ulama say 10 years is the time or the age where the baby can differentiate between the good and bad. Now, if you have a baby of 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, most of the babies in this age do not know that electricity is dangerous. They might come and touch the live wire or live power. They don't know that it kills. They might put their hand on the burning coal or on the oven or whatever it is. They don't know. They might eat something bad. Why? Because they do not understand. They have no ability to differentiate between the good and bad. Now, in this age, you say, it is not obligatory, it is not, even if they pray, it is not going to be acceptable. For example, my son, Usaid, is about 5 years old. He does know prayer and he likes prayer, but he is not yet, you know, he's not yet formed and ready. He goes with me to the masjid. In the masjid, he keeps looking to the people, you know. This child, we don't take him to the masjid, we don't encourage him to pray because it is going to be acceptable for him. No, but because we want him to be familiar to salah. So we don't stop him, but we know that it is not going to be acceptable because and he might pass, gases, and he doesn't know that it is really a matter in salah, you know. So that is how, you know, tamyiz is a condition. Some of the ulama said that the age of tamyiz is 7 years. How did they take that, or from where? They took it from the hadith of Abu Dawud, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Muru abna'akum بالصلاه لسبعين مو ابناءكم بالصلاه لسبعين واضربوهم عليها لعشر واضربوهم عليها لعشر وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع command your children to pray when they are at 7 and beat them when they are at 10 if they don't pray, and separate them in their beds. Don't make 2 sleep in one bed if they are of 10 years old. So muru abna'akum lis-salati lis-sab'. You command your children to pray at 7, but no punishment, only encouragement. But when they are at 10 if they don't pray, we punish them, but not perhaps not severely, just to show them that it is important. Exactly if they don't do their homework. Yes, it will be accepted at 7, but some of the ulama said not necessarily 7. And this is true. It is not necessarily 7. They said the condition of tamyiz means that every child that understands the speech and he can answer the questions. As you see some children who are maybe at 4 or 5, they speak to you like adults and maybe better. You ask and they give you good answers. You speak to them and they understand what you say. But this is not the majority. The majority is from 7 and above. Irregularly sometimes you see below 7, and they, mashallah, speak very fluently and, yani, mashallah, good speech. When you ask them a question, they give you good answer. So this is the condition of tamyiz. The fourth is raf'ul hadath, or the removal of impure objects from the body. From the body, meaning the external body, the cloth and the place where you pray. No, sorry, that's Izalatul Najasa, afwan. Raf'ul Hadath is purity. It's to purify yourself. Raf'ul Hadath is to purify yourself. And to purify yourself, Hadath means impurity. Like when you lose purity, you become impure. Maybe you don't find this in other religions, but in Islam you have it. When we talk about tahara or about purity, we talk about 2 main things. Purity, minor purity, and major purity. Minor purity is to be done by wudu. Wudu is enough for it. And I think, Juan, let me, ma'alesh, break this verse for many other days, because we need to understand that very well. As I swear by Allah, I stood in many mosques, including the mosques here in Saudi Arabia. Very seldom people answered me of my questions in regard to salah. So we need to have it yani, well understood, well memorized, well registered, and inshallah ta'ala we're going to continue tomorrow with رفع الحدث. والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. Now that's a good question. So تمييز is صحة and وجوب. No, it is only صحة, it's not وجوب. It is only صحة. You know why? Because وجوب, if you don't do it, you are in sin. And the child who is 7 years old, 10 years old, 14 years old is not in sin if he doesn't pray. He's not in sin. He is not in sin. He is in sin if he is 15 years old and doesn't pray. That is where he is in sin. And that's why buluugh, which is reaching age of maturity, you will see it in siyam, for example. In siyam. One of the conditions of siyam is buluugh, no tamyiz. In siyam, no tamyiz. But but buluugh or al-buluugh also in hajj al-buluugh etc. But in salah, no, at-tamyiz. Why? Because we want to encourage the children to come and pray, so when they become 15 years old, it becomes something normal to them to go and pray. They love it. So between 10 to 15 years, they are not in sin, not to 15. Yani just before, if they are 15, they are in sin. If they don't pray. But let's say 10 to 14 or just by 15. Yeah, if he is 15, he's in sin. Now, if they have reached puberty, then it is obligatory upon them, because that is buluugh. Buluugh has to, yani, when the person is in buluugh, then we, yani, the ulama say that if one who is in age of maturity, which is puberty, and doesn't pray, the alim, the ruler, the hakim, the Muslim ruler, will bring him and yani, show him the sword. They put him in prison for 3 days. Every day they show him the sword. They say, you pray or we're going to kill you. First day he says, no, I don't want to pray. They leave him. Second day, you pray or we're going to kill you. No, I don't want to pray. The third day, you pray or we'll kill you. He says, no, I don't want to pray. Then they kill him. He's kafir, murtad, rejected Islam. But on the third day he said, no, I will pray. They leave him. He stopped. They bring him again, put him in jail 3 days. And why? Because once the person is 15 years old, it is then obligatory upon him. It is one of the pillars of Islam. Yeah, buluugh is maturity. And by that we come to the end of the lecture of today. Inshallah ta'ala, we're going to meet tomorrow, Tuesday. Gonna meet tomorrow to continue and finish. Well, I don't think that we're gonna finish the shurut tomorrow, because we are going to go through details of raf' al-hadath, which is the fifth condition, or the fourth condition. We're gonna go through it, inshallah, widely, because it has more explanation and more adilla. So please be with us, write, take notes, because the quiz is going to be much harder than the one before it. Because we have many adillah, we have fiqh issues, we have, you know. So, be ready. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa waffaqakum Allah. Wa baraka fiikum. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.